Welcome to Agent of Wealth Podcast with Mark Bowdus from Bowdus Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps small business owners and retirees overcome the multiple wealth planning challenges involved in your financial life. We do this by creating comprehensive wealth management plans to guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and help create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth planning issues involved in your financial life.
Hello and welcome to the Agent of Wealth with Mark Bowdus of Bowdus Financial. Today we are talking about using dividends to achieve financial freedom. And boy, that sounds fantastic. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing very, very well. We're talking about financial freedom. Anytime we can talk about financial freedom, I think that that's a positive thing.
Yeah. I think we got it. So financial freedom, one of my favorite topics with finance, and then dividends are up there as well. So I'm excited about today's show.
All right. Where do we start today?
So I guess let's start with actually defining what a dividend is.
Okay.
And we can probably the easiest way to do this is if we let's take a company as an example. We'll take McDonald's. And throughout the year, McDonald's sells a lot of Big Macs, and they have their expenses of, you know, of producing these Big Macs, of marketing, selling. But at the end of the year, let's assume they have a profit. Mm-hmm. And what they have a couple of options what they can do with that profit. So the first one is they can reinvest them back in the company. Maybe they want to, you know, start up some more locations, or they want to do the research and development on a new burger. They can use it to acquire another company. So let's say there's some other business line that McDonald's wants to get in. They don't want to do it themselves, so they just go in and purchase a company. They can keep that profit as cash on their books and, you know, use it however they want to in the future. Mm-hmm. They can buy back shares. So what this is, let's say there's a million shares of McDonald's that are out there and all these investors have it. They can go out there and use that profit to buy a portion of the shares back. Usually the most common reason for doing that is it'll give a quick or short-term boost to the stock price. So that's another option. But what we're going to talk about today is they can pay that profit back to the investors, back to the shareholders as what's called a cash dividend. That's really, they look at how much profit they have, how much money they want to give back. And it's really, you can look at it as like a bonus, or, you know, the investor can look at it as a bonus. They usually receive it quarterly. So every 3 months, if McDonald's declares a dividend, you know, an annual dividend, it would get split into four, you know, equal payments over the year. And it goes back to the investor, and the investor does whatever they want with it.
Okay. So why would they do that as opposed to, obviously they're giving cash away in what it sounds like, right? And they're giving cash away mm-hmm. to the investor. Why would they do that instead of using that as cash reserves or doing something to, you know, reinvest, like you said, maybe double the size of the McRib or something. I don't know. It's just a dream of mine, but other than that.
Yeah. So they're going to look at it and think, where's the best use of this money? And, you know, it may be, you know, coming up with a new McRib sandwich, or they may want to reward the shareholders or incentivize the shareholders to either stick with McDonald's,
mm-hmm. Loyalty,
keep their shares, or buy more of their shares. So you can look at it as a reward or incentive that the company, you know, pays back to the shareholders.
Now, do they, can you use a dividend? Like if you know you're going to be getting a dividend, can you just say, you know what, instead of the dividend check coming to me, can you just assign me however many shares that dividend will buy?
Exactly. And that's, we're going to talk about the benefits of dividend paying stocks. And that's one of them, is that once the company declares a dividend and pays that dividend to the shareholder is free to do whatever they want with it. They can reinvest it in, you know, in this case, we're talking about McDonald's. So they can buy more McDonald's shares. They can buy shares of another company, or they can take that cash and, you know, use it to pay for their living expenses. Mm. So that's one of the reasons why dividends are very popular, and I'll almost call them the Swiss Army knife of investing tools, because they can really solve a lot of problems when it comes to finance. And they're great for all, you know, for most people, they fit the profile of being a good tool for, I've seen people, you know, someone has a child and they start buying dividend paying stocks on that child's behalf. So it can be good for someone who's young. It's also great for, on the other side of the spectrum, for someone who's retiring and wants, you know, predictable income to come in and pay for their expenses. A lot of times you think, oh, bonds, fixed income, but dividends can also, you know, play that role as well.
You said predictable, right? I mean,
that's correct.
You gave the example of somebody in retirement. They want a predictable stock that's going to be paying them dividends, but it doesn't mean that they're always going to get dividends. What if they don't make the profit that they thought they were going to, and how predictable really is it?
Yeah. So I think what we'll see is that dividends are a lot more predictable than you would think, even though that company always has the choice of what to do with that profit. And the reason is, once a company declares a dividend, they hold that dividend sacred. They'll do anything they can to not cut that dividend or not pay out that dividend. So these companies, you know, once they issue a dividend, usually what you'll see is that they'll do whatever they can to pay that dividend out. And even over time, they want to be increasing that dividend because it gets them into this classification of dividend paying stocks that's really appealing and people really like to invest in. So yes, it's definitely not guaranteed that they're going to pay a dividend out, but you know, the company does whatever it can to make sure that they do make that payment.
Yeah. I guess really it is all about that loyalty and that excitement. As they're able to pay out more people are going to be paying attention. More people are going to be more loyal to that company, seeing that they're making that effort, which again, like you said, raises them up into the stratosphere of a dividend paying stock or how do they get that rating?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say it's a rating, but I'm definitely seeing there's more awareness within the investing public to dividend paying stocks. And, you know, there's probably a lot of different reasons why, but people are asking me about them. They're wanting to invest in them. And, you know, there's different ways to filter out what dividends, you know, fall under this category or this category. And we'll go into some of the details on how you can select these dividend paying stocks. But they're great tools because they have that, I'll call it, predictable cash flow. So you're getting that cash payment which you're free to use. But also they're a stock. So over time, theoretically, the price of the stock should appreciate as well. So you're getting growth along with that cash flow piece of it too. The industry that these dividend paying stocks usually fall under are some of the, you know, and they're still stocks, but some of the more market resilient industries that are out there. So like a lot of utilities are dividend paying stocks. So, you know, even if the market takes a downturn, you're still going to heat your house. You're still going to, you know, want the electricity on in your house or pharmaceuticals or consumer staples. You know, if you, like I said, even if the market has a bad run, you're still going to brush your teeth or you're still going to need to take your medicine. So a lot of them are resilient and, you know, I don't want to use the word safer, but usually see less volatility with the stock price, which, you know, investors like that. They don't want to see their stock price flying all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some other benefits?
So they're good for both retirement accounts and taxable accounts. So they kind of can fit both. They're, you know, good for retirement accounts in the sense that in a retirement account like an IRA or 401k, you get to defer any of the gains or interest or dividends that are in there. So they're perfect for that. But also in the taxable account, their qualified dividends are taxed at a rate of 15 to 20% depending upon what your income is. And that's a lot better, usually a lot better than if you're taxed on some interest on whether it's a bond or a CD, which usually is taxed at your ordinary income rate, which can be as high as 37%. Mm. So they're somewhat more tax efficient than other types of cash payments that are out there. I usually equate them, you know, a dividend paying stock. It's very close to a rental real estate property, which we talked about in episode 20. So in the rental real estate property, you have, you know, your tenant paying their rent, and, you know, assuming that the rents are, you know, cover all the expenses, there'll be a net income or a cash payment for you each month. But also you also can expect the house to appreciate over time. And a dividend paying stock is just like that. You know, you get that cash payment of a dividend, but also you get, you know, the best of both worlds where you get some growth with the stock price as well.
Mark, that sounds great. All those things sound like, you know, possible positives, right? I mean, the possibility of having those, you know, those things, that would be great. So I'm going to ask the question that's on the flip side of this coin. Are there any mistakes investors make when it comes to trying to pick these types of dividend paying stocks or really wanting to go after them?
Yeah, there's one big one that I see all the time, and it's called reaching for yield. So before we go over that, let's just I'll show you how you can calculate the yield, the dividend yield that a stock is paying.
All right.
So let's assume that a particular stock, it trades at $10 a share. So that's its stock price.
Okay.
And it pays a 50 cent dividend for the year. If you do the calculation, divide the share price by the yield, it comes up with a yield of 5% mm-hmm. per year. Now, we previously talked about how investors will filter out, you know, what's dividend paying stock should I buy? One of the main ways that they do it is they just filter out and say, tell me the stocks that are paying the highest dividend, right? Because if you look at it, would you rather have a stock that pays a 10% dividend or a 3% dividend?
Oh, I'm going 10%.
Yeah, exactly. And most choose that, but it's sort of a gotcha question, because the dividend yield is not the only piece of the stock that you should evaluate when determining whether to pick it or not. Because there's dangers in this, because what happens is a lot of times that yield gets high to that 10% because, remember, we talked about how they calculate the yield, it's based off the stock price.
Mm-hmm.
If the stock price goes down, that yield, it has an inverse relationship with the yield, and the yield goes up. So if we use the example we just talked about with $10 a share, and we'll just keep it simple and use that they pay a dollar per dividend, its yield is 10%. Now, if the stock price drops to $5 a share and they're still paying that dollar dividend, now it's showing that they yield 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think, this is great. I can get a stock that's paying 20%, a 20% dividend. But you didn't realize you just lost 50% of the stock price.
Exactly. Yeah, I just lost a ton. I don't like that. Can we go back the other way? Yeah, let's reverse and go back the other way. I like the other way better. Wow.
Exactly. So when evaluating a stock, you know, you want to consider the stock's total return. So that's both how has the stock been doing has its price been increasing, decreasing? And usually there's a reason why if the stock price is decreasing, that may make it a more, you know, even though the dividend yield may be higher, it may make it more of a risk. So step one is you want to look at the stock's total return rather than just give me the highest paying dividend yielding stock that's out there.
Got it. How do you navigate that minefield right there?
Well, it's a couple of different ways. One of them is when I look at dividend paying stocks, I want to see dividend or companies that have increased their dividends over time. And what that means is, so let's say this year their payout is they're paying a dollar per dividend per share for the year. I want to see next year that they're paying $1.25. And the year after that, they're paying $1.30. And I really don't care how high it's going. I mean, obviously, the higher that they're raising it each year, the better. But I just want to see them make that commitment to increasing it every year.
Mm.
And the data is out there where you can research these companies and you can look and you can see companies have been increasing their dividends for 30, 40, 50 years straight.
Wow.
Yeah. So that really goes to the strength of a company. So if a company can continually raise their dividend, so that's not even they maintain their dividend, they didn't cut it any years, they've continuously raised it every year. So even when the market is bad, you know, we in the 2008, 2009 and every other recession, you know, depression, bear market, you know, pullback, there are companies out there that have just continuously plowed ahead and raised their dividend.
How could they possibly do that if their stock is going down?
It's based off of, so the stock prices will go up and down, you know,
all the
for
time.
various reasons. But the cash that they, or the profit that they make, that's they're just well-managed companies well-manage their profits. A company can't pay dividends if it doesn't have cash to do so. You know, they can't just pull money out of the air to pull the dividends. They actually have to have profits to be able to make that dividend payment.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you want to check for is what's called a payout ratio. And what this is you look at how much profit did the company make for the year, and of that profit, what percentage of it are they paying out as a dividend to their shareholders? And you want the lower that percentage, that payout ratio percentage, is the better. So let's look at a simple example.
All right.
So let's say a company has a profit of $2 a share for the year and pays a dollar dividend. That means that its payout ratio is 50%. So very strictly, very straightforward. Mm-hmm. They're taking half their profit and that's what they're paying out as a dividend. Now, if the company's payout ratio is lower, that means they're keeping more cash on the books. They're not, you know, going all the way in and, you know, sending out every cent that they have as a dividend, which would be great for investors, but it also makes it a risk that, mm-hmm. you know, something's going to happen and they're not going to be able to pay out that dividend. So you want to look for a payout ratio of, you know, usually 60% or less. Anything above that could be a danger to, at some point, they cut, squash, eliminate, you know, their dividend. So mm-hmm. that's another tool that you want to use is you want one, check what the total return is for the stock. You know, is the stock price growing? Is the dividend a reasonable dividend rate? Is it extremely high? Usually if it's extremely high, that's a red flag. So we have total return. Then we want to look and see, can we look and search for companies that have increased their dividend over 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and even longer than that. And then the third thing we want to do is we want to look at the payout ratio and we want to see how safe is this dividend if, you know, for some reason they don't have a year where their profits are as good as they've previously been, will they still be able to make that dividend payment? So those are three criteria that I use to select to construct a portfolio of dividend paying stocks.
And here's the thing, for the average listener like me, I can't do all that. I mean, that's just, it's overwhelming to take all those things into account. You explained it very, very well, but I'm assuming you do this for clients upon request.
Yeah. And there's really a couple ways that someone can go about, you know, building these dividend paying stocks and constructing a portfolio. You can look at the three criteria that I just gave and someone can go and do it themselves, right? Put, mm-hmm. you know, try and get all the data that they can, start filtering, you know, stocks out and pick a portfolio. Second option is they can have someone like myself do that, who has access to data and access to filters and technology that can screen companies that fit a certain criteria. Mm-hmm. And then there is a third way. You can actually there are now exchange traded funds or ETFs that can fit some of these profiles as well. So you might say, I want only companies that have increased their dividends for the past 25 years, and there's a fund for that. And if you want to say, I want to invest in companies that have a payout ratio less than 50%, you can find a fund for that too. And a lot of times part of it is you want, you know, to construct the portfolio of different funds. So you may want not just the large cap companies that produce dividends, but you also want to diversify your dividend paying companies as well. There are small cap companies that pay dividends. There are international companies that pay dividends. And you want to use that same approach, those same criteria across the board. And, you know, what the end result is, you want a portfolio of these dividend paying stocks. That's what you're trying to construct with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right.
So next thing is we want to talk, all right, so how do we then use these dividends to get the, you know, build up that passive income or achieve the financial freedom?
Mm-hmm.
So you might have guessed the step number one is usually the hardest, but it's to get started.
Yeah, get right.
We all start, you know, we all start from a clean slate, and the easiest way to hit whatever you're trying to hit is to take step number one and start, you know, purchasing some, adding some dividend paying stocks to the portfolio. And, you know, whether you're then go from, even if it's $0 a month in passive, in dividends, to $5 a month in passive incomes, you have to start at step one and you mm-hmm. have to, you know, start somewhere.
Yep. Makes sense.
Step two is what I usually find, you know, there most people are, you know, who have success with building these portfolios that provide passive income or, you know, trying on that path of financial freedom is to do, you know, automation. So automate the money, you know, have this dividend paying account, you know, that you're going to dedicate to dividend paying stocks. Step two is automate some money that goes into there each month. You know, it could be as small, whatever it is, small as 10, 50 to as, you know, obviously the larger, the better. But step two is automation. You know, it's, everyone talks a lot about 401ks, but one of the reasons why 401ks work so well is the automation piece of it.
Absolutely.
You know, you go in, you set your paycheck, you know, you go in, you look at your 401k and you say, I want to contribute 5% or 10% of my paycheck to my 401k. And boom, from then on in, before you even see your paycheck, that money comes out, goes into a 401k. And I can't tell you the number of times that people have come to me and said, "Why? I didn't look at my 401k for, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years," and they're how surprised they were at how quickly it, you know, it started growing. Mm-hmm. And it's because of automation. If they had to manually go in and allocate money each paycheck or each month or each year, the people just wouldn't do it.
I think the success rate would be in the low single digit percentage, you know, of people that would actually do that. And I count myself in that group. It's so hard to be that disciplined to do it because you always think, oh man, I really need to do this, or I really would like to do this. And it's just too much of a temptation sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the automation is great in this case too, for dividends as well. Then the next thing, which is probably the most important piece of this, is reinvesting the dividends. If you don't need the cash to pay for living expenses or for some expense, reinvest the actual dividend that you're receiving, because what this does is now it compounds. So let's say you have 100 shares of, and we'll use McDonald's as an example, and McDonald's is paying you that dividend each year. If you know, you can, like I said, you can take that dividend and do whatever you want with it, go buy a car, or you know, but you can also reinvest it each time you get it and increase the number of shares of McDonald's that you have. So you can go from, let's say you have 100 shares, McDonald's pays out your dividend, now you have 105 shares. Now you're getting, the next time a dividend's paid, you're getting paid a dividend on 105 shares, which then you take and reinvest, and now you have, let's say, 110 shares of McDonald's. Now you're getting a dividend on 110 shares, and you take that over time, and that's really how you amass wealth or really build up that passive income stream.
Mark, can that be automated also?
Of course, yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's
great.
The other piece of it is automate that as well. Same drill. You don't, you know, you set it up. You don't have to go in and you know, manually allocate that dividend that comes in. And when I say reinvest it, you actually don't have to invest it in the stock that the dividend came from. Some people will actually take the dividend from one stock and use it to build up a position in another stock. So you can take that McDonald's dividend and use it to buy up, you know, to buy shares of Apple stock. And that way it's sort of, you know, it's just a natural way of diversifying a little bit, instead of having that concentrated position in, you know, McDonald's and whatever other dividends that someone has. And I'm just obviously just using McDonald's as an example here.
Gotcha. We're not endorsing the McRib, although very tasty. All right. So what else do we have to cover in this? I mean, what other steps do you need to do to hopefully find that financial freedom, or at least get that passive income?
So the last piece that I would do, and this goes for any type of goal, whether it's financial, health related, or anything, is track it. Mm. And there is something to seeing progress, even if it's small progress over time. So the way to do it is you start out at zero. So you look at and you track what is the monthly dividends that I am receiving. So if you're just starting out, it's zero because you haven't bought anything yet. But let's say you buy one stock or one ETF, and now you're getting, let's just say, $10 a month in dividends, and now you're automating your savings, and these stocks or ETFs are paying dividends, and all of a sudden that quickly grows, and now you're getting $100 a month in dividends. And, you know, a couple months later or a year later, it's, you know, it starts turning into $1,000 a month later, you know, and now you can really visualize the growth. And it also helps you, you know, as the investor, keep pushing towards it, because you see the improvements, and you see you see getting closer to that goal, that financial freedom goal, whatever that number is. Mm-hmm. But dividends are, you know, that's a tool that helps you get there, and tracking it, you know, it's just proven to, you know, enable more success than if you kind of didn't track it.
Yeah, I think that it really becomes a very rewarding experience being able to see that, because whether we see the money going in or not, it still in our brain registers as a quote unquote sacrifice. I'm sacrificing something else to make sure that this future is my financial freedom is more secure, or my retirement is more secure. So being able to have that backed up by the progress that these things are making, it makes it a whole lot easier to say, you know what, I'm going to put off buying 20 McRibs for this, you know, to be able to invest in the stock that's going to do better than what 20 McRibs would do to my waistline. So, you know, it's easier to turn down the things that we, you know, would quote unquote want for stuff that we know will be a future desire that we don't even know we have yet.
Exactly. And I'm a big proponent of visualization. So when you see that growing monthly, it definitely goes a long way to pushing you. And there are two ways that, you know, people usually track it. So you can do it manually. You can create a little spreadsheet, put the months on the top, and, you know, your dividend paying, whether they're companies, stocks, or funds on the, you know, going down on the left side, and what they pay each month, and you can tally it up. Or one of the tools that I have will generate a report that shows how much income all of these investment dividend paying stocks or funds are generating. And it produces that an output looking the same as that spreadsheet that we just talked about. And it's something that I review with clients, and we track the progress of it. So I've had, you know, clients that are on all levels of paths of creating that financial freedom. And we have clients that are just starting out, and some that are over $20,000 a month in, you know, generating these incomes. But it's not an overnight, you get to that massive income overnight. It takes discipline. It takes time, and it takes, a strategy involved in it, but it's definitely something that can be done.
Yeah. That sounds fantastic, because I don't want to do it all myself. I don't want to input all the numbers and do all that. I'd love to be able to, you know, talk to somebody quarterly or semi-annually and have them produce that report, because again, my eyes are off of it for a while. And then all of a sudden I get this report and it shows, you know, how it's doing. And again, what me sacrificing a little bit on the front end is doing for the back end or the goal that I have, my long-term goal. So that'd be very rewarding, I think.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think it also provides a peace of mind, because for retirees, especially, because they're contemplating retirement, and you know, they see this money they have in IRAs or in other assets or 401ks, and they look at it and say, okay, if I start depleting this, you know, when is it, when will it go? Will I outlive this money? But if they see a report that shows the dividends or the cash flow that these investments are producing, and if that's enough to cover their expenses, they look at it and say, well, I don't even have to touch my principal.
Yeah.
And I know that my passive income is going to cover all of my expenses. So it's really great for, having that peace of mind as well.
Yeah. Perfect. We are running low on time. Do you have any closing thoughts for today?
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that, you know, dividends are paying stocks a great tool. They're still stocks. So they may not be right for everyone, because they are volatile, just like stocks are. But as far as investing tools, you know, I leave it with, they're the Swiss Army knife of investing tools. They fit a lot of different problems that, you know, we try and solve when it comes to someone's finances. So they, you know, should be something that's at least considered.
Nice. Definitely something to consider. If you're interested in considering it, please reach out to Mark. Mark, why don't you give them your phone number so they can call you with questions?
Sure. You can reach me at 862-205-5800 or by going to my website, which is bowdisfinancial.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark, for your time.
Thanks, Eric.
And thank you all for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Bowdis. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Mark comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Bowdis Financial, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Bowdis Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment and financial planning.